To your Bible, Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll be reading from verse 1 to verse 3. And the word of the Lord from Ephesians chapter 6 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you for your infinite wisdom and knowledge which surpasses all understanding. And for you are the author of life and the designer of family unit. You have instituted a divine plan, a divine pattern for fulfilled marriage and family, laying out the roles of husband, wife, and children. And for the children, you have given the role of obeying and honoring their parents, learning from them and growing into responsible adults. Your blueprint, O Lord, for the family is perfect, and it brings blessings and joy, harmony and fulfillment when we follow them. So help us to fulfill our respective roles well according to your plan. And Lord, Holy Spirit, just speak to us. May the speaker and hearers hear your word and abide by your word. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have already covered quite extensively on the roles of the wife. And last week, our elder and Jackie gave us the message on the role of the husband. So, having explored the vital roles of husband and wife, we now turn our attention to the significance of children in God's design for the family. And as we look at Malachi chapter 2, we see a glimpse of the heart of the father. And Malachi chapter 2 verse 15 tells us that God is after godly offspring. Godly offspring from the union of husband and wife as one in the flesh and spirit. And so if God wants us to have godly offspring for him, then as parents who are given the primary responsibility of nurturing their children, parents have to be godly parents too, so that we can raise godly offspring for the Lord. And so, we shall work on this. And we ask the Lord for empowerment into our lives so that we will be godly parents and that we will be godly offspring. So, throughout Scripture, the role of children has a significant theme, highlighting the importance of family, heritage, and continuation of faith. Continuation of faith from generation to generation. And the Bible, the Lord describes children as precious gift from God. And the Bible describes it as blessing and heritage. So children are blessings and heritage. And so, as we read from this, Psalm 127, verse 3 to 5 says this, that children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. And like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. And so the blessing is illustrated through the metaphor of this, of arrows. Proverbs 23 says this, that the father of a righteous child has great joy. A man who fathers a wise son rejoices in him. May your father and mother rejoice. May she who gave birth to you be joyful. So this is what the Bible says about children. And it's a gift from God. So God's gift, a heritage from the Lord to bring joy to the parents. Arrows are used for protection and defense, and to provide security and strength for the parents. So this metaphor of the arrow speaks about the security that children will bring onto the parents, not only onto the parents, but when we have godly offspring on the earth, honoring their parents, honoring God, there'll be security in the land as well. And so Proverbs says, be wise, my son, and bring joy to my heart. Then I can answer anyone who treats me with contempt. So, the godly offspring that God wants us to have, to produce for Him, is also for, very much so for our benefit, that it will bring security to us, security to the land. A wise son gladdens the father's heart, and the parents of a wise child can stand up joyfully above all situations. And the biblical metaphor of a quiver full of them also implies abundance and multiplication, highlighting the value of having children. And we use this symbol of the arrows to point to something, to point to the future. So this metaphor of the arrow pointing to the future is also pointing to the future and the continuation of faith, so that the faith that we have in God will be passed on from generation to generation to generation. In Genesis, when God promised Abraham that he would be a blessing to all nations, he fulfilled it through the legacy of his children. So, Isaac, Jacob, and the 12 tribes of Israel illustrates how God, children are integral to the realization of divine promises and the establishment of God's chosen people. So, in God's divine plan, godly offspring will ensure the continuation of faith. When you look at Judges chapter 2, verse 7, it speaks about the Joshua generation. And the Joshua generation and the generation after his, they knew the power of God. They have seen the great hand of God at work. And they honor the Lord. They worship Him and they serve Him. But just 3 verses later, in Judges chapter 2, verse 10, we see that the third generation begin to lose sight of God. They lose the lordship of God, and they totally forgot about God, and they went down the spiral. And as they did so, the prosperity that the generations before them had that came from the Lord also disappeared, and they went into poverty. They went into captivity. And this crazy cycle in the book of Judges we see went on for 7 cycles. When they were deep in despair, they called unto the Lord, and the Lord helped them, and the Lord restored them, and so they were high in praising God. And then again, after a few generations, they forgot about God, and they dwindled again. So you see the importance of having the faith to continue from one generation to the next and to the next. So this is the metaphor of the arrow that is given, speaks about the future for the faith to move, to be passed on from the parents to the children and from the children to their children, and so on. So, and God entrusts the parents to nurture and guide their children to walk in the knowledge of God. Okay, so it is the primary responsibility of parents to nurture, to lead their children in the fear of God and towards having the faith in God. And Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 and 7 says this, that this was Moses' instruction of the Lord unto the Israelites. He says, "These words I am commanding you today are to be upon your hearts, and you shall teach them diligently to your children and speak of them when you sit at home, when you walk along this road, and when you lie down and when you get up." So you shall teach them diligently to your children. And to fulfill faith to be transmitted from generation to generation, there must be this input to them. And the input comes primarily from the parents. Parents must instill God's commandments to their children. So, in the Bible, we see that God has high value for children. And yesterday, we had this very beneficial workshop that was delivered by our very own Dr. Tan Mei Ying. She's an expert in this area. And it was a workshop on the conversation on biblical truths. And so those who attended, I'm sure you benefited much. And the remaining lesson 7 to lesson 10 will be covered over 2 Saturday morning sessions over Zoom. And then in March, Mei Ying will come back and to speak from this pulpit 2 sessions in March on conversational equipping. So coming back to this, Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as this." So this speaks about how Jesus values children and how he sees in the character of children that we should have in order to have to receive the faith from God and to walk in him. In valuing children, Jesus emphasizes on the importance of their qualities. Qualities like innocence, trust and humility. It helps us to enter into the kingdom of God and walking in the Lord. And Jesus says, "Unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of God." From Matthew chapter 18, verse 3. So, what is expected of children? Children are expected to obey and honor their parents. Simple guideline, right? We see this from Ephesians chapter 6 that we have just read. And Colossians chapter 3 verse 20 further emphasize on this. "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." So, when we obey our parents, this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Okay, so this is one good reason. It's well-pleasing to the Lord. The spiritual principle behind this requirement to obey and honor parents is to unlock God's blessings into their lives, into our lives. And the promise of long life on earth actually relates to our well-being, living a happy, fulfilled life in the favor of the Lord. To obey parents is to show respect for their authority and care, and it recognizes God's authority and parents as God's representatives. So children should obey their parents. And the Bible also gives this reason why we should obey. And it's simply because it's right to do so. is the right thing. And who made it right? It's God who makes it right. So it's the right thing to do, so do it unto the Lord. So do it because it's right, do it unto the Lord. And Moses instructed the people of God in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 25, to be careful to obey God's instructions. For, he said, if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us, that will be our righteousness. So, obeying parents is the right thing to do, and when we do it, it counts towards an act of righteousness. So, children, this verse says, children must obey their parents in the Lord. And so this means that obedience must be within the boundaries of God's will, as revealed in the Word of God. And so, there's hierarchy of things, right? And so this question, what should children do when non-believing parents forbid them from following Jesus? So this is a question. And so what do you think? It's a sensitive question. So if children, you are faced with this, then seek the guidance of your mentors concerning this matter and be prayerful about it. Okay? But one thing for sure is this. The Bible says, obey your parents. But then, obey your parents in the Lord, putting the boundaries of the Lord's in the hierarchy of things, then what should we then do? And it's like that. So, while the child has to obey the parents, but at the same time, he can still continue to read the Bible, to walk and talk with the Lord, to pray to God. And so the thing is that continue to walk and follow Jesus. So, if I may share a testimony, when I received the Lord Jesus as my Lord and Savior, in 1969, I was in secondary 3. Then, I wanted to go to church. I'm a Christian now, so I want to go to church. And so, I went to my father and I asked my father. I said, I call my father, you may call Pa or Dad, I call my father Ba. It's a respected, honored title in the family. So I say, Ba, can I go to church? And so he looked at me very sternly and he says, don't talk to me about going to church. You finish your senior Cambridge first. Senior Cambridge, today we call it O-levels, which was a year later, right? So I was sec 3 then. You finish your senior Cambridge first and then you can talk to me about going to church. So I have to obey my father, right? But what do I do? I did not give up my faith. I continue to read the Bible. I continue to pray to God. And I found out that in my school, there is a Youth for Christ club. And they meet up every Friday afternoon after school at a place called Branksome Road, which is very near to my school. And so I begin to attend Youth for Christ every Friday afternoon. And that became like a church to me. Okay? And so, a year later, I finished my senior Cambridge exam. And the moment I finished my last paper, I woke up to my father again, very nervously, and I asked, Ba, you said I can attend church after my senior Cambridge. I just finished my last paper today. Can I attend church? So he looked at me sternly and he was reminded that he told me that and he honored his word and he told me, go! So off I went to my phone. That time, you know, black color phone, pick up with a coil, and then I dial, vroom, 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 dial my friend. My friend, he's a leader in the YFC, and he's my schoolmate. And so I said, Daniel Chandra, is your church the one with the red brick wall and at Pennefather Road? And he said, yeah. Can I attend your church? And it's as if Daniel Chandra owns a church. So he's delighted. Actually, Daniel Chandra's father was a church administrator then. Yeah? So he said, of course, come. And that very Sunday, he brought me to church. So I started attending church. And then 3 years later, I was already in national service then. At 20 years old, I then sought permission from my parents to get baptized. And they allowed me, and they even, having given the permission, they even came to my baptism service. So, I thank the Lord. Okay? And then, there's this other question. What should a child do if parents refuse to give permission to be baptized? So, what should a child do? What do you say? Pray. Oh, good. Okay. So, we pray, but we still have to obey, right? And in any case, so pray and obey, and then walk faithfully in the Lord. Show your transformed life to your parents so that they will see in you something different that has happened. And that's because of the grace of God that has come upon us to bring about a transformed life in us. And the parents will change their mind. Not only will they change their mind, they will also want to know who this wonderful God is, and they may want to follow after Jesus. So, pray. Don't secretly go and get baptized without your parents' blessing as a child, okay? Don't quietly, secretly, and your parents will be hopping mad. Yeah? So, incidentally, for the child, children's age, even if you want to be baptized and your parents, unbelieving parents, does not allow you to do so, the church will also not baptize you. You remember in the baptism, there's one parents' consent form. So in this parents' consent form, you are supposed to ask your parents for their blessing for you to get baptized. So if you don't produce that as a child, the church will not baptize you too, right? So, children must be taught obedience and to grow in maturity. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's what Proverbs 22 verse 6 says. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Even the boy Jesus, when he was growing up, Luke records that he obeys his parents. And Luke chapter 2 verse 52 says, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in the favor of God and favor of men. So, wisdom, that speaks about mental capacity and stature, about physical capacity. So he developed in that. And so today I just put it under goals for raising children to maturity as under life skills and discipline. Okay? Under life skill and discipline, what is it about? It's about basic discipline, such as for them to aspire to do well in their studies, in their schoolwork, to read their Bible, basic discipline such as keeping your room tidy, keeping away things after you have used them, such things. Personal hygiene, personal care, right? Then, favor with God and man as in a spiritual capacity, that's about leading them into spiritual maturity, which is about leading them to be faithful followers of Christ, engaging them in prayer and worship together, developing their understanding to adopt biblical worldviews. And in favor with men is about developing their social capacity. So have a goal on social maturity in the area of being respectful, to obey and honor parents, to have healthy relationships with their family, with their siblings, with friends, and with the community. And so look there, if we don't teach our children to follow Christ, the world will teach them not to. Okay? So there's no choice. We have to teach. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. So, steps to teach obedience. So, firstly, we will need to view children as treasures entrusted to our care as parents. So, if parents, we see our children as burden, then something is wrong with us. Change the attitude. Okay, we have to view children as treasures that the Lord, our God, has entrusted us in our care. And so, it means that we have to model godly behavior. We have to teach God's word and pray together with them. And we have to do training in discipline. Okay? For children to be disciplined. Okay, take a look at this. Modeling godly behavior. So in modeling godly behavior, we demonstrate respect for authorities. So if you're driving a car and you did not follow the rules of the road, the highway code, and it says no right turn, but you turn right nonetheless because it's the shortest way to your car park. So when your children see, then what will they do? Okay, so it will build in them also not to respect authority, not to respect such rules. So, what else? I'm sure you can think of many negative examples. So, don't demonstrate negative examples, because children learn from observation, and they learn and it gets instilled into them and becomes a part in their life. Okay? So that's the responsibility we have, to be on our best behavior all the time, especially at home. At home, sometimes we think we can relax, right? But we cannot, okay? Because the children are watching. So, if as the parent, as a Christian parent, you think that, oh, today is okay, never mind, I skip church just to do marketing. And so, what will the children think of it then? The children will think that, oh, okay, it's okay to miss church for this reason, and the children will follow suit, and they will miss church for no good reason. See? Okay. So, don't blame the children if they play truant in school, because they may have observed the parents skipping church. Okay. Next one. Teach God's word and pray together to emphasize obedience as love for God, and how it can lead to great blessings and a deeper relationship with God. So, giving some examples, if you have little children, then you can teach them through Bible stories. So, for example, Noah's Ark, you tell the story about Noah obeying God's instruction to build an ark, and he not only saved his whole family, animals and so on, but he saved the whole of mankind from being obliterated from the face of the earth. Okay? So if Noah had not obeyed God in the instructions that God has given him, then we will all not be here today. Okay? So, but Noah's obedience is not just a one-off. It's a consistent life of obedience. You know how long it took him to build the ark? Decades. It took him decades to build the ark. With all the sneering that he received, he continued to obey God's instruction. And he was actually, he's the first ever naval architect because he built this according to God's design. Then the other story about Daniel and Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel obeyed God. God's command to pray. And so even though it was the king's decree that nobody should pray to God, he continued. And as a result of which, disobedience to the decree of the king, he was thrown into the lion's den. But God shut the mouth of the lion, and he was safe. Okay? So through stories like this, it tells the children that obeying God comes with a promise. Obeying God is pleasing to him. Obeying God is God will bring the victory to them. Okay. Next one is about training our young children obedience. That obedience involves discipline, having to discipline them at times. But when we discipline our children, we are to do so in love. Okay? Never discipline a child in your anger. Okay? Discipline a child lovingly in love. And remember that rules without relationship will lead to rebellion. So, we have to prioritize our communication and relationship building skills. So we are being helped in this. Dr. Tan Mei Ying gives us this workshop yesterday and will continue in the series over the next few weeks. One thing that I would like to mention is to emphasize obedience at the first instance. So as we raise our children, try to emphasize that obedience must be at the first instant. Let me explain. There was a father. His three-year-old son never obeys at the point of instruction. So he may obey a bit later, right? But never at the point of instruction. But the father kept drilling him, insisting that he should obey at the first instruction. And so it took him quite a while. So the father persevered, and then finally the child began to be more receptive to obeying at the first instant. And so it paid off, because about 1 or 2 years later, when the child was 4 or 5 years old, the child was cycling, and then he came to a narrow lane that is seldom used by motorized traffic. And he was about to cross that lane, but the father, from the corner of his eyes, saw a car coming. And so he said, "Son, stop!" And because the child had been drilled and trained to obey at the first instance, the child simply stopped. And then the car zoomed past. So that probably save the child of his life. Okay? So this is something that is good, to emphasize obedience at the first instance. It will also work well for the child later on in life, as he receives word from God to also obey in the first instance. You know, when I was in the uniform group, secondary one, I joined the Sea Cadet Corps. You know? So, I enjoyed thoroughly in this CCA. That time it was called Sea Cadet Corps. Now it's probably called NCC-C, right? Okay. So, I was very happy attending the classes on seamanship, on the learning the rules of the road, as they call it. Rules of the road is highway code to the marina. And I enjoy boating. But then I found that a major part of the activities on that Saturday would be drill, marching in the hot sun. And we used to march at the old Kallang Airport. Kallang Airport, you know, the time before it was developed. So there's this big area that we use for marching. In the hot sun, sweaty and so on, I did not enjoy it. While having to stand in the hot sun, I always question, what am I doing? What am I doing here? But later on, I learned that in drills, it's actually to institute in the soldier or in the person in the drill to obey at the first instance. So when the sergeant says, turn right, you don't turn left. All in tune with turn right. Okay? And that drilling in the person helps us in life. Okay, come to what it means to honor parents. Honoring parents demonstrates respect, gratitude, and responsibility, and is a biblical command. It's a biblical command as we have read. And this command brings about blessings that benefits both the children and the parents too. Honoring parents is an expression of gratitude, right? For the countless sacrifices that our parents have made for us. But then, some of you may say, but my parents actually did not raise us up well. Then how? How then? Note that even when parents have been wanting in their care for, in the upbringing of their children, this command to honor parents still holds. In other words, it's encumbering upon children to honor their parents no matter what. Okay? But know this, that when we honor our parents, it will bring joy to them, to their lives, and it also invites God's favor of blessing into our own lives. So, honoring parents is a key to unlocking God's blessings, and the fifth commandment. So, in the Ten Commandments on the tablet, the fifth commandment is the first commandment that actually comes with a promise. Honor your father and mother so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. You may enjoy long life on the earth. And when Pastor speaks to the youth, he always turn here. Okay, so I think I understand why. Many more youth are here. Okay, so the youth may say, why would I want long life? Because maybe you read in this medical journal, Singapore Medical Journal of 2019, it says that only 25% of people over the age of 60 years old in Singapore met the criteria for successful aging. Only 25%. And by successful aging, the definition is that they have no serious or major diseases or disability. Okay? But when the Bible talks about long life, it's not about long life that is to be spent in wasteful years. That's not the Bible's definition of long life. The promise of long life refers to a fulfilled life to the individual and is not about living to be a centenarian, although it may well be. Otherwise, the teenager who honors his parents and died early because of an illness may be misconstrued as not having honored the parents. So it's not like that. Okay? Or worse still, if you then look and say, God did not keep his promise. God always keeps his promise. So, this promise relates to our well-being, living happy, fruitful and fulfilled life in the favor of God. Living the full life that is abundant and meaningful, and it also means there's no premature death. And you know what? That this promise is not limited to the individual only in terms of the longevity and the promise of long life, but it also applies to the faith community, and God promises his people that they will live long in the land. Okay, let me explain what I mean through a personal testimony on receiving blessing for the whole family through an act of honoring my father. Okay? And in the process of sharing with you this testimony, the story is about pointing to the fact that God keeps his promises always. Okay? So it's not about the good thing that I did, but the storyline is about God who keeps his promise every time. This was in 1971. July 1971. July is the hottest month, right? So I was back on home leave. I had made, I was months at sea. I just started work. And I had come back and my ship was comfortable, air conditioned. But when I came back, then I saw my father. He was then 61 years old. He was, he had asthma. And so during those hot months, it was particularly bad on him. And he had frequent asthmatic attacks. And I saw his life actually deteriorating. And I was quite concerned. And I felt the heat myself. Because, you know, I was on ship very comfortable and then came back here so hot. And I suspect that was the reason for his frequent bout of asthmatic attacks that is affecting his health and lifestyle. And so I decided, I was on leave, I was free, I decided to do something about it. And in those days, HDB is not like what we have today, very comfortable, right? HDB in those days, you want to fix an aircon in your room, you need to apply for permission. So you got to go and queue up HDB office, apply for permission, because the electrical system at that time cannot take the load that you may want to have in the whole household having aircon. So here I was applying, and then finally through a lot of maneuvering, queuing up and so on, then I got it approved. So I got a license to air condition my father's bedroom. And so I arranged for the contractor and so on and fixed for him a window unit. And then I begin to see that the asthmatic attacks disappeared. And then soon I also begin to realize that the asthma that he has been having from a young age also ceased. He never spoke about having asthma again. So actually he received healing through this act of having the aircon installed in his room. And so as I reflected on this, it's about something that we do in honoring our parents that brought about a blessing. In this case, a blessing to my father and to the whole household, because he then continued in good health to live to a ripe full age of 87 years old. It brought longevity into his life. And not only that, in the process of living the remaining part to the fullness of life that God has for him, at 72 years old, he received the Lord as his personal Lord and Savior. Okay? So I reflected and I said, what if this simple act of air conditioning his room had not taken place, he may not have survived for long, and his salvation came when he was at 72 years old. So I praise God that this simple act of honoring my father was noticed by the Heavenly Father, who kept his promise and brought blessing and longevity and salvation to my father. So this experience reminds us that honoring our parents is not just a moral obligation, but a spiritual principle that unlocks God's blessings into our lives and the lives of our loved ones. So when we honor God, when we honor our parents, we honor God. And it brings also joy to the parents too, as the reward of successful parenting. So when we are successful in parenting our children, and then we begin to see that as a result of which they are the godly offspring, and they also know how to honor their parents, then we will be very joyful. And in fact, the third epistle of John chapter 1 verse 4 says this. It says, I have no greater joy than to hear my children are walking in the truth. So, as parents, when we see our children walking in the Word of God, then it gives us great joy. So, look at some ways to honor our parents. So one thing I put there is, value your parents highly for their love, care and sacrifices, for their provision in raising the family and their financial support for us all through life. And so in valuing our parents, also make sure that you call them by the appropriate title. Okay, call your father, dad, pa, whatever. Okay, I call my father Ba. Yeah? So call by the right title and never call them by their first name. Okay, or don't call your father or describe to someone your father, this old man. That's being very disrespectful. Okay. Okay, let me ask this question of the young people here. What is your relationship with your parents? Have you got a good relationship with your parents, young people? Do you communicate with your parents? Of course, parents too, you communicate with your children. So, young people, do you communicate with your parents? So, check it out, okay? If you do not communicate with your parents, it means something is wrong in your life, yeah? Because your parents are your first and foremost, the most important people in your life, in your growing up years. And so, check it out if you're not communicating with your parents. So you have to obey your parents, you have to honor your parents. But when you have grown up and live on your own, or when you have grown up and you have gotten married, then maybe you don't have to obey them for all the things that they tell you to do, right? But one thing that you have to continue for life is to honor your father and your mother, okay? So, next thing is the practical care for their needs, take care of their health, and spend quality time with them. Spend quality time. So how can you spend quality time if you don't communicate with them in the first instance, right? So spend quality time with them, and then spiritual care, pray for them, especially when my father was in his final years, He suffered a stroke that left him half paralyzed. So it inhibited his movement and in his speech. But I remember every week when I visit my parents, I'll come alongside my father, I'll put my hand round his shoulder, and I'll pray with him. And I believe that the prayer actually helps to sustain his peace with the Lord. Okay? And I'll pray with him, and I'll tell him, I said, Ba, you remember, call on the name of the Lord Jesus. Call on the name of the Lord Jesus whenever you have needs. And he will always nod his head. Yeah. So pray for your parents. As much as your parents are praying for you, you pray for your parents too. And when you pray, don't need to make it secret. Pray with your parents. Yeah. Okay. And then financial support. So about financial support, provide financial support, especially in their old age. Huh? Okay, so as seen, I would like to refer you to Matthew chapter 15, verse 1 to 6. And Jesus here, in that passage when you read on your own, Matthew 15, verse 1 to 6, Jesus interprets the command, honor your father and mother, as referring to financial support. Okay, so financial support for the parents. And one thing is this, if your child honors you with this, even when in the first paycheck the child gives you a portion of that money, and you are having a well paid job, don't tell the child, no need, I don't need your money. Don't do that. Okay, receive from the child. Allow the child to show respect and honor. It's not about the sum of money that the child gives you, but it's about the respect and honoring of the parents. Okay, so accept it. Give your child a chance to honor you. Don't say, don't have to give me, right? Then, but you have plenty of money, right? It's okay. You can find reasons to splurge on your child, with a birthday present or with something else, right? Okay. So with that, let us just close in prayer. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we bow in submission to your word of truth. Grateful for the guidance you have provided on the responsibilities of husband, wives, parents, and children. And we pray for the families in this church that you would strengthen and bless us. For those who are single, we ask that you would bring them together with godly partners at the right time to form marriages and families that would honor you and enjoy the blessings of life. We pray for the families that are already together here, that you would bless them with godly children who love and follow Jesus. May parents walk in the obedience to your guiding principles and to raise godly children as a godly offspring unto you. We pray for those in the children ministry and the teachers and leaders. We pray for your grace upon them to lead the children in their ministry areas, teaching them your word and guiding them on the path of holiness. Save our children, Lord. Save them from disobedient, rebellious lives that will cost them dearly. Save them from harm and bring them, Lord, unto you as Lord and Savior. Lord, we pray that you will make the gospel attractive to our children, that they may follow after your ways. I thank you for the promise that if we bring our children up and train them in the right way, that they will follow that path of righteousness. We pray, Lord, that our children will honor and obey their parents, as you have commanded in your word. May they have a heart of respect and obedience, bringing joy and blessing to their parents, and receiving the promise of long, fulfilled life. Give us wisdom in all our relationships inside the home, and may the fruit of it be another generation of children that will love God and who will carry the gospel on to the next generation. Fill our church with godly children. And Lord, we exalt your name, for Lord, that you are pleased with us when we follow your ways. That Lord, that you will honor our, that you will bless our families and our marriages with your great blessing. And so, Lord, today we pray, Lord, that we will be instrument of your peace and your joy, Lord, as we raise our household well in the name of Jesus for the glory of your name. Lord, release this blessing unto us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.